And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Welcome back, listeners. Welcome to part 7 of the Yacht Club Show Special Edition, Surviving the 2020 Pandemic. This is Mike, sometimes known as Killer, and I'm joined by Rev D and Dr. Jim. Gentlemen, how's it hanging?
Straight down. Low and to the left.
So, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Still bored, but doing okay. I got a real boost today. My friend Ron called me and said, we're going golfing next week.
All right. I think it might be in Toledo. I'm not sure. But some golf course is trying a single-person golf cart, motorized golf cart. Will it look more like a tricycle?
I could see Dr. Okay. Jim on the golf course on a tricycle with his clubs on his back. That's a great visual.
That was the first image that popped into your mind, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's a tricycle. I said, yeah, I got to see that.
Yeah, Jim pedaling. You have Jim pedaling in this image then. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that they were, I didn't think they could use carts yet. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
That's good.
According to Ron, carts are available.
What a great governor we have.
They putting plexiglass in there?
I don't know. It's we'll have to see. But that's leadership, man.
That is leadership.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little later. So so Dr. Jim's getting out on the golf course next week. Are we getting back to normal somewhat? Is that going to happen anytime soon? Or is it just going to be really small steps?
You know, I think it's going to be small steps. I think it's going to be more adapting to what's going on. The virus is going to be with us.
Right.
And whether it spikes again or comes big back in the fall, who knows? But I don't think this, personally, I don't think this is going away. And as we've talked about before, without a vaccine or a antiviral that works, I think we're just going to have to learn to live with this. And everybody's going to have their own level of comfortability of going out. But I think what we're going to have to do is adapt to things. And like if Jim's going golfing, will there be plexiglass in the carts? And I think I had read in the beginning that you couldn't touch the flag. You had to leave the flag in.
When they first open, right?
Right. So I would guess that kind of stuff is going to go on. Probably the bar, in that the 19th hole isn't going to be open. Whether you can get a sandwich there, who knows? But I think we'll slowly adapt, find out how to golf in a different... We'll still golf, but we may not have all the amenities that we had. And I think that's what life is going to be. It's going to be different. But
yep.
Man adapts, and we will adapt to this. You can just see it with people right now. They're getting tired of sitting in their houses, and they've got to get out, especially now with the weather getting warm. It's just going to exacerbate that. So I think we're going to see a lot of adaptation in the coming months. But, you know, I think that this what points out, it's going to be everybody's level of comfortability with what they'll do. I get together, or we have a Zoom discussion with some with people that I work with once a week, just to, you know, kill an hour for everybody. It's interesting to listen to their different levels of what they've done. You know, some people have not been out of their house at all. They order their groceries, and they just stick very close to home. Others have gone out a little bit, just to varying degrees. And
right.
It's really going to be up to the individual. Even when they open up a restaurant, people aren't going to be flocking to these things.
No.
Right.
There's other things I've thought about, too. I know of a couple weddings that were scheduled in the month of July. I don't know how good that's looking right now. I don't know when people will be given the green light to congregate socially like that, where you'd have 200 people in a reception hall. Do you guys have any feel for when something like that might be opened up?
You know, all I can tell you is that I was doing a wedding in June. It was scheduled for the middle of June, and it got changed to August at this point. I got moved back, and that's still kind of a tenuous thing.
Right.
But just as you say, it's 200 people that they, and I don't know if it was in a tent or I don't know what the setup was. But if you look at the guidelines that were given, I don't think a group of 200 people could happen until phase six of the CDC's recommendations.
And when is that, Dave? When is that slotted?
I think that's the other side of the pandemic, when there's either a cure or, if I'm not mistaken, a cure or a vaccine. You might not even have the a wedding hall, may not even have the opportunity
to make that decision on your own, right.
They may not be able to host an event with 200 right. people.
Now, your friends that are self-isolating and they've never been out of the house for the last 3 months, are they suddenly going to say, okay, let's go out?
No, no. I'm not sure when they'll go out, when people have gone in. I really am not. It's like anything else. So the maybe 25% occupancy in a restaurant is a good number. Maybe that's all the population that will go out on any kind of a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, or any basis, not even regular, but just go out at all.
Here's a question. Does baseball have a chance this year? I say any cockamamie scheme that they can come up with. Can you think of any situation where they might try to squeeze in a partial season, whether it be in empty stadiums or whatever, which doesn't make sense to me, but what are you guys thinking?
Well, I think definitely there'll be some kind of a season. There's just too much money to be made. They'll figure it out. And I say the money to be made. Television is dying for something to show.
Yeah.
So I think if there's any way that they can cobble something together.
Get that television revenue, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to be selling $11 beers, but if we can't do that this year, so be it.
But I've heard anyway, and maybe you know more than I do, but what I heard the other day was that the Major League Baseball wants to open up and play half a season beginning July 4th.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And what they want to do is they want to split the revenue 50-50 with the players. And it's going to be tough watching a baseball game with no crowd. You know, that kind of, I was so used to, for when I was a kid, you always hear the crowd buzzing in the background,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's part of the atmosphere, absolutely.
Do they pipe that in?
I wonder if they'll do something like CGI or something like that when you do see the stadium or the seating, if they'll do something with different colors. I'm just thinking, this sounds really wild, but I'm just wondering if they've been thinking about how can we make it look like there's people when we're broadcasting these. Maybe it wouldn't be worth the expense, but that's kind of an interesting thing with technology and all the games, the tricks you can play with video. It's kind of
like, I'm sure that's occurred to them. I'm sure they're thinking about all that.
Yeah.
But I think by July, people will be so starved for something.
Yeah. They'll take anything. Any kind of baseball.
They'll take anything.
Yeah.
And, hockey and basketball, they're still making noise about finishing their season.
They're going to be finishing it just in time for it to start again, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know why they'd bother at this juncture, but there could be a lot going on and with no people in the stands this summer.
Yeah.
And I can also see a scenario where nothing happens this summer.
Yeah.
They just decide to scrap it all.
I see opportunity for old businesses. And what I mean by that is I think the drive-in industry might get a rebirth here. A friend of mine posted a picture down in Toledo area. There were all the cars lined up to get into a drive-in. Man, when's the last time you saw something like that, right? And my daughter brought this up, thinking about Chicago. There is a real fear to get on any kind of public transportation. You know these urban areas, not necessarily Detroit, but they're really big on the public transportation, the L in Chicago, the buses. I'm wondering if there's going to be an uptick. Of course, you have to have the parking for people to go out and buy and own cars again or lease cars.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this could actually end up being a shot in the arm for the automotive industry. You know, it's just turning everything on its ear.
But then that also leads to another set of problems in that there's congestion in these big cities enough as it stands.
Yeah, which is why public transportation became almost a necessity. But I don't know. Some people might say, I'd rather spend an extra half hour, 45 minutes in my car and not be exposed to COVID-19. I don't know. It's just going to be interesting.
Yeah, the next two or three years, or let's just say till there's the vaccine or an antiviral or the virus dies out. One of those things happen. This is all new territory that we're doing.
And then things will swing back to the way they were at the beginning of this year.
I do think at some point that they will in the future when these things are behind us. But the innovation that's going to come out of this will be, you read some of the things now about how well working at home has worked for a lot of businesses.
Hey, it is, Dave. It is working. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting, and I apologize, but I don't want to lose this thought. But one of my daughter's companies, based in Chicago, just announced today that they won't be going back to the office until October.
Right,
and that's because working from home is working. People are being productive. This particular company is doing rather well. So now we go back to an old conversation. Do we really need all that expensive downtown office space?
Well, you're right. And you can't tell me that the accounting department of XYZ company isn't looking at something like that.
Right.
Yeah, do we need that in the Loop District in Chicago? Do we need that real estate? And there's going to be some really dramatic changes that come out of this.
Yeah.
We'll continue forever.
It's going to be fascinating.
On the other side of the coin, are people going to miss, or are they going to be able to tolerate the loss of socialization that comes from going to an office? Because, you know, when you go to work, as much as you may like or hate your job, everybody always has fond memories of the people they worked with.
You know, that's very true.
You do need some of that collaboration, but as we all know, we've all worked in the business world. It's all about the bottom line. So where do I get the most bang for my buck? Paying lease space so people can be together, or can I be as profitable or more profitable? Maybe you're not as socially happy, but you're more productive.
It's a bottom line. It's a bottom line.
Yeah, it's all about
business.
The bottom line.
Yeah,
is what it'll be. I do agree with Jim that there is something to be said for the social aspect.
Yeah, Am I going to choose to spend my life working out of my apartment instead of just doing something else? Regardless, it may be great for my employer. And it may be, I may be very, very productive being there, but it is, I have no social connection to what I'm doing. And there's no loyalty to my coworkers because we don't even know who our coworkers are anymore. And we may not even know who our boss is. I mean, we know who the boss is, but we may not even be able to pick them out in the crowd.
Yeah.
So it gets to be, there's no connection to your company or what you do. There's no, you know, there's an incentive to do what you are assigned to do, but you're not feeling any emotional, you're not getting any emotional satisfaction of what you're doing. You're not sharing your success with a team of people. And it's probably, you're probably going to be rotating all over the place in terms of projects you work on. So you work on a project for 6 months, that one's done, you move over to another project.
Yeah, but that was happening anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of these people.
If anything, too, we've learned that you never do have to leave your house now. You never do unless you have to see a doctor. I mean, you know, unless you need to get to a dentist maybe or a doctor. I don't think there's any need now.
Even seeing a doctor with this telemedicine,
That's true.
You know, you're going to get on Zoom or one of these applications where you can just have a video visit and the guy interviews you and,
yep,
you know, you're describing where the pain is or what's bothering you and he can just prescribe something to you from there.
Sure.
I did that today with my doctor. And usually to make an appointment, I called this morning. I need to see him about a prescription refill. It's usually, I called now figuring it'd be 2 weeks to see him. Says, "Well, right. would you like to do a televisit today at 1:45? I did it today. I got it today. We chatted. It was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
I can see where that cut down on a certain percentage. But if you need to get blood drawn, you're still going to have to go somewhere, and,
right.
you know, so that
right.
they know it's your blood and that kind of stuff. And you know, if you need to get a tooth pulled, you'll still have to go to a dentist. But yeah, I can see where that could cut down on office visits by probably a third or maybe more anyway. Maybe 50%.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that'll continue. That's going to go on. That's going to be something, a good innovation that'll come out of this.
Yep.
I was just going to say, you know, you're talking about there's no reason to go out of the house as if that's a good thing. I think if we used to worry about living in the suburbs and being isolated, you don't even know who your neighbors are kind of thing. What's going to happen now as you go forward?
Oh, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying I think what people have learned is that they never have to leave the house. I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that is a good thing.
Yeah. What does that create for, you know, society? It suddenly changes the whole dynamic in society. What about dating?
You know, you read an article online and then you user comments. It's just going to turn us all into a bunch of these people that like to swipe at people online.
Yeah.
You know, it's what we're going to turn into. You know, if an article says the sky is blue, you're going to have 100 people saying what an idiot you are. You know, your mother must have dropped you on your head. The sky is green. It's just crazy out there. People love from their comfort of their home to call people names. I've noticed that. They do.
But Mike, it won't be a drop in your head. You're either going to be a socialist or a racist
or a misogynist.
Yep.
Misogynist. Yep.
Yeah.
Homophobic. Whatever.
It's just amazing how the anonymity of internet has turned people into a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, that's true. But you got to admit, the comments are a lot of times better than the article.
Oh, yeah. It's the evolution of the comments I get a kick out of. You know, somebody, by the end of that, you know, the addition, the string, you see your mama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we are much less civil online, let's put it that way, than if we are face-to-face with people. Much less civil.
Yep.
So I don't think that's good, but...
No. I think we are going to even lose more and more of the ability to even interact with each other, just have conversations, meaningful conversations, just having ideas and discussing ideas that, you know, with some intelligence. It's the changes that are going to happen, changes that have been going on for the last 20 years, I think, are going to be on steroids after this.
Hey, shifting gears, anyone that's from the political or whatever ranks that's stood out as a real leader in all of this? I was going to nominate Gretchen Whitmer.
As a leader?
Yes.
I think she's an adequate manager. How do you define leader? I define leader as somebody I would follow up the hill. If we're going into battle, I would follow them up there because I know they're going to get us through. I just don't see it. I think what we have is managers.
Part of my definition of a leader is someone who doesn't kowtow to public sentiment, that does something that they think just needs to be done, whether it's popular or not. And she's really dug in. And I think, and you know, the data, we're going to have to wait and see, but the data will show us whether, you know, this stay at home thing has really made a significant difference. Obviously the Michigan numbers are trending down both in new cases and deaths. I think that she's largely responsible for that. All right. I'll stop. I'll let you guys.
I understand your point of view, and I think you're right. She's bucking the trend, but I think she's doing it because she's running for vice president, and that this is what she needs to do if she wants to be vice president.
Yeah, she has become a TV star, that's for sure, and I never liked that.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Right.
So I find she may be pure of heart, and she may be willing to stand up to opposing voices and do what she thinks is best, But her motives to me are suspect because I think she's trying to become Biden's VP, and she's in a key state that he needs if he's going to win. If she is pure of heart, she could be a candidate for a leader. I do have to say this, though. I think Cuomo has shown the ability to lead. I think whether or not you agree with what he does, he definitely...
He has that quality. You know, yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
He has a quality. Yeah, yeah. And he's not running for anything. You know, not now. He may be prepping for 2024, but he is not running for anything right now. So he has a certain presence. And if you don't like the guy, you're not going to follow him anywhere. But if you tend to support his point of view, I think you would think of him very favorably. I was just going to say he's my pick to replace Biden when he implodes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, maybe we don't count him out for 2020. If there's a brokered convention, you know the Democrat Party would love to see Cuomo run for president. You know that. You know, yeah. I don't think the party's sold on Biden by any means. And
no.
So, I mean, if there's an outside chance Cuomo could get the nomination.
Sure. I mean, the fact that we're even talking about it is unheard of. You know, usually when a nominee is basically got it sewn up, it's not even open for discussion, and people are still leaving it open.
Yeah.
And he is, and Biden, he's got both this sexual harassment thing and Obamagate hanging around his neck. So
yeah,
and his total inability to talk on his feet is going to kill him.
That's going to be the biggest, and I think that they'll use the Tara Reid thing or maybe Obamagate. We'll see how much play that gets. I think that's what they'll use to make a change.
Everything's been recorded for the last whatever number of years. There's so many quotes out there that they're just going to hang around him. And as I said, it's going to be a totally unfair fight because he doesn't have enough thriving brain cells to handle it.
No, he's got a problem there, and Trump will exploit that.
Oh yeah, he'll light him on fire, and Biden will not be able to keep his mouth shut.
No. Yeah. So I think it's only maybe at best 50-50 that he gets the nomination.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you, Dave. He's a very weak candidate. I don't know if age or what. I hate to say age, but he seems to be a shell of what he was 20 years ago.
It's not the literal age because he's not, I mean, Trump is not that much younger than him. It's just you don't even think of age when you think of Trump. You may hate his guts,
but you don't
think of him as a doddering old man.
You look at
Biden and you got to be concerned. And then you think of do you want this guy answering the phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning? I can see that being a very acid test.
Yeah.
And the only solution I think they're going to try and get away with is we'll elect a competent vice president. Well, you know, that's nice, but a vice president is a vice president. It's not the president.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think he even has a temperament. I mean, he loses his cool very easily now, and sticks his finger in people's chests and stuff like that. He really is kind of losing it. He really is.
Yeah, he's deeply aroused.
Yeah.
The only thing that may save him is that if they try to take it away, Bernie's people are going to go crazy thinking it shouldn't be Bernie.
Right.
It may not be worth that aggravation.
It's a good point.
Get them all fired up. He's got that working in his favor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then then the Democrats have to just accept the fact that, unless Trump blows himself up, which we all know.
Every time we think Trump is going to do that, he skates. Every time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I thought... When he had us drinking bleach, I thought, okay, here it comes.
No, it just became a punchline on Saturday Night Live, and we've just kind of moved on, you know? It's
Yeah, I know, but it'd be nice if he learned his lesson after doing that, but...
No, he won't learn his lesson, but nope. In fairness, he did not tell people to drink bleach.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You're right. I know. The way it was portrayed, his problem is he thinks out loud.
Right. He speaks before he thinks, I think, is what his problem is.
No, it's like, and maybe I mentioned this before, it's like you're at one of those meetings that you say, okay, just throw an idea out. No idea is too stupid.
He's in a conference room in Trump Tower throwing out marketing ideas.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but he's throwing out medical opinions. I mean, this is...
Yeah. A little bit different there.
And it's not even, the presence of mind to realize what can go wrong here.
He doesn't connect the dots. He's not even thinking about somebody drinking bleach. Nobody of that is going to do something like that.
I'm sure that never entered his mind.
No, but unfortunately, there are... Yep. Not, well, how do I say it? There's people who will drink bleach.
Yeah.
That's where you've got to be careful.
You have to talk to the lowest common denominator because someone will turn around and drink bleach.
That's true. That's true.
All right. What do you think?
Let me get this in.
Sure.
I don't know if you can fit this in, Mike, but I just wanted to mention something when we're talking about the summer. And Whitmer, I don't know if you heard her press conference today, but she had a question about...
Who, Trump's press secretary?
No, Whitmer.
Oh, Whitmer, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Whitmer had her press conference today talking about the, what's going on. And somebody asked him about, why don't you give hard metrics to these phases? And her response was, because there's something to the effect, there's a variety of factors to consider when you're looking at this, when opening things up. You got to look at how much testing is available, how many confirmed cases there are, the availability of personal protection equipment, the human activity in the area. You know, getting back to the leadership thing, I think she's setting things up with that criteria. She could close us down again in 2 weeks if she felt like it.
Yes.
You know, we're going to have to find a way to live with this. And that's what a leader would be doing. Okay,
yeah.
That we're going to be in this. There's not going to be a vaccine. There's not going to be an antiviral. Okay, how do we open things up safely?
I get. At some point, yes. Is the economy fixable?
At this point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she hasn't.
It's going to be hammered right now, Mike. I don't think she's ever met a payroll. I would doubt that she ever worked in the private sector. I think she's always been able to suck at the government teeth for her livelihood. She's been there suckling.
You know, there is. You ask a good question, Mike, because that is an unknown factor. What is the economy after this? First of all, retail is dead.
It was dying anyway with Amazon and stuff like that. I mean,
we just
kind of rushed it along here.
Yeah, but there's a gradual evolution going on here that would have allowed,
transition.
There would be a continuous testing to transition to whatever retail is going to become.
Yeah.
But, getting back to the economy and opening it up in Michigan, and Jim, you said this 2 or 3 weeks ago, man, they got to get this going. It's just that the longer this goes, the worse it's going to be coming out of it.
We're probably losing businesses every week here.
Yep.
Well, the plants are going to open on Monday, the 18th. That can
only
help.
Well, Mike, the auto plants are going to open.
Yes.
Right? Okay, but, that poor barber in Flint or wherever he is. Okay, yeah. How do you get that guy? And the guy was doing everything. I mean, I'm assuming from what I read, he was cleaning stuff, the social distancing. That's what she should be working on. Instead of then they take his license. Okay, to me that's what a leader does. Okay, we've stemmed it, we've flattened the curve. Okay, how do we move on now safely? And I don't see that with her. She just comes up with these nebulous things that, and if she gets a bug up her tail, she's going to shut the things down. And I can see it happening. There's going to be a spike. You know that as people start moving around again.
Right.
It's gonna happen. So just shut her down.
Mike, you sent that chart out with the number of cases and that sort of thing. See, this is even that statement is going to be a spike. What does that mean? Where is the spike? Is there going to be a spike in nursing homes? Is there going to be a spike in what?
Yeah,
you know, and does a spike in nursing homes have anything to do with me going to get a haircut?
Where is the spike? Yeah, that's a good point.
What's the connection between the nursing home and deaths in a nursing home and my getting a haircut? It's just, when they talk about data, there are so many people in the news. I trust the data and the science. What data and what science? And do you know what the data means? We don't.
No, it's interesting that you say that, because that's a conversation I had with my doctor today. I've gone a long time, and we're kind of friends now, so we can talk about this kind of stuff. He said the exact same thing, you know, about data. And it really is kind of meaningless in the whole scope of things.
Exactly. It has to be all taken within the context of the subgroups within the data. It's like, you know, you're looking at the unemployment numbers, right? So let's say unemployment is 10%. Does that mean every single occupation has 10% unemployment? No.
Right. No.
You know, it's going to be how you handle that number depends on who is the one that's driving that 10% number.
Yep.
And they need to do the same thing with this data.
All right, let's
really
wrap it up. Dave, we usually start with you, or anything?
Oh, yeah. Hey, boys, have a good week. Stay safe.
And an oldie but goodie, it probably applies as much now as ever, illegitimi non caberundum est.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next time.
If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.